And you recognise who this is. And I'll give you a clue. It's not a disgruntled Albion fan. Anybody? William Wallace. That's right, William Wallace. As played by Mel Gibson, that well-known Scottish... It's the line from the movie, isn't it? Eh? The line from the movie. They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom. With apologies to Bill Caldwell. They may take our lives, but they will never take our freedom. Freedom is something that we fought wars over. There have been rebellions, civil wars, uprisings, protests. But how free are we? How free are we? The dictionary says freedom is the power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants. Just think about that a minute. If this morning, as you're sitting there, you decided that that right of freedom was yours, what might you say? I'd be running. I'm just glad that the tins of tomatoes and stuff that you gather together aren't in this room. The power, or, I mean, that is, isn't that wonderful, but it ain't on. We've got our filters, haven't we? You know, it's like, the minister walking in to say to the church one morning and say, "Oh, good grief, Mrs. Williams, is that you? My goodness, you're wearing a lot of makeup this morning, and that hat's awful. What the heck are you wearing that for?" Wouldn't be very helpful, would it? It also says it's a state of not being imprisoned or enslaved. Well, we're fortunate, aren't we, in this country? Because there are many people who find themselves in that situation in other parts of the world. And I don't just mean those who've broken the law. We have so many freedoms. Freedom of worship, freedom of speech, until somebody doesn't like it and they start to sue you because it's not right. Freedom of choice. God gave us freedom of choice. Freedom of movement. Again, we're very lucky in this country because we could pretty well go anywhere in the world we want to as long as we've got a passport. There's freedoms of and there's freedoms from. Freedom from want. People shouldn't have to look for their next meal in bins. Freedom, whoops, where's that gone? Freedom from fear. We should be able to go out in the streets and not fear for our lives. We fear for our children, though, don't we? We don't like letting them out on their own too much. And you know, the funny thing is, Whatever happens to them now has happened to children previously. It's just that we've changed our attitude. Freedom from slavery. We should now no longer have someone as our slave. And freedom from discrimination. And that opens up a whole can of worms. Those of us who are local preachers have just been going through the equality and, what is it? Can't even remember it. Pardon? Diversity training. We've just been doing some lessons online as to how we shouldn't say things that we shouldn't say about people who are different. Minorities. And it's not just minorities. It's not just about colour of skin. It can be age. It can be ageist. We can discriminate about anybody. It could be blue-eyed people. When I was training to be a teacher, one of the things that they talked about in terms of discriminating was that they would say, what happens if a teacher gives all the children with blue eyes 10 out of 10 and all the children with brown eyes 4? Not because their work's any better or any worse, but because they've got blue eyes instead of brown eyes. That's discrimination. And one of the things that I'm struggling with, and I'll be honest with you, I am struggling with, is how we don't discriminate and yet still be true to the gospel. Because there are things in the scriptures which don't make it easy for us. This is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9. And all I can say is, wait for it. He says, am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus, our Lord? Are you not the result of my work in the Lord? Even though I may not be an apostle to others, surely I am to you. For you're the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. This is my defense to those who sit in judgment of me. Don't we have the right to food and drink? Don't we have the right to take a believing wife along with us, as do the other apostles and the Lord's brothers and Cephas? Or is it only I and Barnabas who lack the right to earn a living? Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and doesn't eat the grapes? Who tends a flock and doesn't drink the milk? Do I say this merely on human authority? Doesn't the law say the same thing? For it's written in the law of Moses, do not muzzle the ox while it is treading the grain. Is it about oxen that God's concerned? Surely. He says this for us, doesn't he? Yes, this was written for us. Because whoever ploughs and threshes should be able to do so in the hope of sharing in the harvest. If we have sown spiritual seed among you, is it too much if we reap a material harvest from you? If others have the right of support from you, shouldn't we have it all the more? Don't you know that those who serve in the temple get their food from the temple? Those who serve at the altar share what's offered at the altar. In the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. But I have not used any of these rights. And am I not writing this in the hope that you would do such things for me? For I would rather die than allow anyone to deprive me of this boast. For when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, since I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I'm simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this: that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge, and so not make use or full use of my rights as a preacher in the gospel. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those having the law, I became like one having under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law. Though I am not free from God's law, but I am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I've become all things to all people, that by all possible means I might save some. I do this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share its blessings. That's quite a powerful passage, I think. Et tu, Corinthians, says Paul. See, in chapter 7, he's been having a message from the church, and they've been asking various questions about things that are going on, of immorality and marriage, celibacy, and he has been criticized because he's taken no money from the church. He's refused to be paid by the church. And this is his answer to them. And he uses his authority as an apostle. Am I not free? He says. Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus, our Lord? How many of you can say that? Are you not the result of my work in the Lord? And he says, come on, guys. Even though I might not be an apostle to other people, surely I am to you. For you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. He has been in Corinth about 3-4 years previously. He set up this church. He was the apostle that preached to them. He was the apostle who by the Spirit convicted them to follow Jesus. And they begin to question him. Oh, it's not unusual by any manner of means. Not unusual at all for churches to question the person who is leading. You see, he speaks to the right of the apostle. As an apostle, it was the apostle's right to be fed by the church. Fed by the believers. These are the rights, the perks of the job of being an apostle. He's got the right to eat and drink, as others do, he says. And then he brings up some other interesting things. He's using himself as an example. He has chosen to be free from the rights of the apostle. It was normal that itinerant preachers would be fed, would be lodged, would be given anything that they needed by the believers that they were preaching to as they travelled around. And some people, the more wealthy people in the churches, would give money into ministry. Now, if you go and see someone like Benny Hinn or Joel Osteen at the NEC, you can see how that's working. A lot of the tele-evangelists rely on money coming from you and me as they travel around. Apart from the merchandise stall, of course. I once remember, a number of years ago, a preacher came on TV. I used to watch a lot of God Channel then. And he came on TV and he said, I need a new jet. He says, I've got a jet, but I need a new Lear jet. Now, okay, there's a logic in it. This guy goes all over the world preaching. Even just the United States now, come on. He can't spend days on the road. But he comes straight out and says, I need you to buy me a new jet. I wonder what Circuit might say if... You know where I'm going, don't you? I was thinking about just a new car, but nevertheless. Don't we have the right to these things, he says? Don't we have the right to take believing wife along with us, as do the other apostles? See, did you think that the guys in the band just went out on their own? Now, this shows us that they took their wives with them. So Peter took his wife and probably his kids. Notice what it says. The Lord's brothers took their wives and children. And even Cephas, Peter. That's part of the apostles' right. That the families are looked after. But he says, or is it just Barnabas and I who lack the right to work for a living? I work for a living, he says. Paul was a tent maker, and he used his trade wherever he went to do repairs, probably not make tents these days, because he probably wasn't necessarily there in that length of time, but he would do things, odd jobs, to support his ministry. He didn't ask the church. He says, I don't use those rights. On the contrary, he says, we put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel. Look at that phrase. We put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ. As far as we know, Paul was never married. Certainly when he writes in 1 Corinthians 7, he's talking about going back to the marriage issue within the church in Corinth, and he says these words. He says, now to the unmarried and widows I say, it's good for them to stay unmarried as I am. Three little words, but they tell you a lot about Paul. As I am. So as far as we know, Paul was not married. But Paul had one thing on his mind, and that was to preach the gospel. Nothing must hinder the good news being preached. He says, I don't ask you for money because I don't want to put a burden on the church. I've been to churches where, well, I've pastored churches where the money was slim. And they could just about afford to give me a stipend for a couple of years. One church would have liked me to go along and lead it. They hadn't got any money. They couldn't offer me anything. And maybe that was maybe wrong on my part. A woman said to me after service the one day, she said, why don't you come and pastor here? I said, well, they've got no money, they can't do anything, you know. And she said, have you got your own house? I said, yes. Yeah, we own our own house. Well, there you are then. God's given you a roof over your head. What more do you want? Sort the rest out. But Paul, and I love this phrase, and this is from the NIV. Paul doesn't want to be a burden on the church because his reason for living is to preach the gospel free of charge. We all like a freebie, don't we? We all like a nice little special offer, a voucher towards a meal. Free of charge. He says, if I do it voluntarily, I'm getting the blessing. What's the blessing? The blessing is seeing people come to Christ. That's the reward. It's not the money. I mean, let's face it, when you track through Paul's life, prison, shipwreck, lashed to a post in Paphos. How many of us want to do that? Just for the sake of saying, The Lord lives. Come to Jesus. He says, I am ordained, I am compelled, I am obliged to preach the gospel. Woe to me, he says, if I don't. Now, is that just him, or is that him saying, I'm not doing what I should be doing for God? Another hard word coming up. Therefore, no, that's not the hard word. This is. I have made myself a slave to everyone. I am a free man. I am a slave to everyone. He gets a bit complicated, doesn't he? I am a slave to everyone. So that I can win as many as possible. See, it's not about me. It's not about me making money. It's about the gospel. That's why he says, you stand in judgment over me, because when I went to the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. When I preached to those who were not having the law, the Gentiles, I became like one not having the law. So to win those who did not have or did not come under the Jewish law. To the weak, I became weak. To those under the law, I became like one under the law. I'm under Christ's law, he says. I'm not under the Levitical law, the law of Moses. I am under Christ's law. So I'm still under the law. But I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. He's not expecting to save all. You notice? He's not expecting to save everyone. He adopted the lifestyles of the places he went to. He was criticized for it. Why? Because he'd eat things that Jews wouldn't eat. He'd drink things that Jews wouldn't drink. What if he hadn't? Would it have mattered? Yes, it would. Because if he'd have said, oh no, I can't eat that, he would have offended them. They wouldn't have listened to him. They'd have kicked him out. Remember, Jesus went to the outcasts of society, to the unclean, to the sick, to those who are hated in Jewish society, like tax collectors and Samaritans, Gentiles and lepers. He was there in the midst. Oh yes, and he was criticized for it. If we are to be Christ-like, should we do the same to those in our society and in our communities who are today's versions of those people? Peter says in Acts 10, 34, God is no respecter of persons. He's not partial. He doesn't want us to just to go to the blue-eyed people. He wants us to go to the blues, the greens, the browns, the hazels, the ones in between, and those who have different coloured pupils. That's hard. And that, folks, is the hard bit. And that's where I find myself struggling. What hinders? Well, one thing that hinders is fear. I'm frightened. Oh, I don't want to go with them. They're not nice people. Our attitudes. Paul says we endure rather than creating obstacles for others. So that means we have to watch what we say about people. We have to watch our values. We have to consider how we fit into today's culture, our political affiliations, how we handle each other. Because we're working not to hinder the gospel, even though we may have a right to our opinion. And our speech. I've probably told you this little story before. My mom was a Christian. She went to church in her younger days, but she didn't go later on. She would think nothing of walking from Darlaston to Bradley to go and see the Sunday school anniversary. I had a brother who lived in Bentley, and we lived in Darlaston, and on Sundays we used to go up there for a couple of hours, and we used to get on the bus right outside the local Church of England church. And it was just about 6:30, 6:45. And I said to Mum one day, I said, "You know, you used to love going to church. Why don't you go to church anymore?" And she said, "Look," she says, "if they're all like the ones who come out of that church, chewing each other up, slagging each other off, whilst I'm waiting at the bus stop, I don't want to go to be with those people. Why should I?" I think that's one of Paul's hindrances. So the thing is, I don't have any answers to this one, folks. And that's why I told you at the beginning, I am struggling. I just get more and more questions. Yes, I would love to be all things to all people that by all possible means I might save some. But does that mean that I have to compromise my beliefs? Does it mean that I have to bracket some of the things that God says in the scripture and just sort of leave them to one side whilst I'm doing it? Am I frightened? Yeah. I'm frightened to go to people on the streets and goodness knows what else. I can't tell you what to think. I can only point out to you what God's word says. And with the new discrimination laws, I have to say, as churches, we have to be careful in the future because we are not exempt from the laws being made in Parliament regarding discrimination of groups, whatever they might call themselves. How How far do we go before we compromise our beliefs and our gospels? I'm sorry. I'm struggling like the rest of you. But somehow, we have to try to find out how to be all things to all people. Perhaps we should start with being all things to some people. We might get a few. You never know. I'll leave you with a challenge. God bless. Amen.